Welcome everybody to our last recording of 2020. So before we start, or before we jump into the topic, I kind of want to clarify about some things I brought up in the last episode, the open source one. So I mentioned Red Hat as an example of a company that does open source and is profitable. And that was before I kind of found out like the whole decision they did with CentOS. So what they decided to do was, every few years they will release like a new version of CentOS, right? It's like a new version of Windows, right? The CentOS 7, CentOS 8. And previously CentOS 8, which is kind of like the LTS right now, which is supported in for another 8 years, they decided to stop support for it. And I think next year, and they told the community that, hey, if you want to use CentOS, just rely on what is the development branch equivalent of CentOS. I don't feel it's a particularly good decision. Obviously, it kind of ticked off the community in a not a very good way. So I guess I'll clarify saying I'll probably still bring up Red Hat as a example of a company that does open source for profit. I will also probably talk about this last episode if I had known about it. But yeah, I just wanted to clarify that. Okay, we can now talk about how a wonderful year 2020 was.
Wonderful is not the exact word I was coming up.
I mean, you got to make the best out of it. Like, all my plans were like, nope.
Yeah, flight tickets burned. Dinners cancelled. Yes.
Staycation becomes a thing.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, when we talk about 2020, it's the coronavirus, right? One thing good, I think we mentioned previously, was this definitely accelerated remote working.
Yep.
And definitely push for a lot of competition in the video conferencing space, right? We saw Zoom like blowing up both in usage and also in their stock prices. And Google was playing catch up, right? I think they are now almost there, but I still feel that they're kind of lacking in some aspects with Zoom. Like, I don't think you can do, can you do recording now? I'm not too sure.
I don't think so.
Even Google was like, they did a few things with Meet, right? I think previously they announced that after September or October, I can't remember the date, they were going to stop 24-hour long calls. They don't offer unlimited calls, right? But they offer like one call can be up to 24 hours, which is technically unlimited. And then they kind of extended it until sometime next year that you can have 24-hour long calls. I think previously they were saying that after the date, it will just be an hour long. I think they kind of extended that, which is a good thing. At least people have more options. But yeah, like most of the community I'm in, we just moved to Discord already.
That's what we're doing now. But I think like Google did add a lot of features, that obvious one, like background blurring and modifying stuff. I think, I'm not sure about recording, but they definitely don't have like integrations yet, right? You can integrate to workplace and all that stuff, live streams. But I guess, yeah, options. Good thing you can use Google Meet without standalone apps and still have all the features. But you have to use Chrome, whatever.
Only for like the specific features, you only have to use Chrome, right? I don't think you need to...
Yeah, backgrounds.
I'm using Edge and it still have the background blur, so...
Okay, Chromium-based.
Right, Chromium-based.
It doesn't work on Firefox. I'm a Firefox user, okay?
Right. Yes.
I don't know, is it a this year thing? Hold on, let me check. Since we're talking about browsers, because someone, I definitely saw this chatter on Twitter about chromeisbad.com. Yeah, it's this year. So I only use Chrome for work, actually. And after this, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to uninstall it. And I'm using Firefox Dev Edition right now for work. Seems to be working fine. So, yep. But yeah, basically they're saying in chromeisbad.com is that apparently what was the application? One of the agents in Keystone. Yeah, Keystone is an agent inside.
Since
inside.
Forever, it's been there forever. But
yeah,
it's more obvious now, I guess. The impact.
Yep. So I think it's the agent that handles the upgrading of Chrome, right? Yeah, what it does is it does hook up performance in the background. So they were saying, yeah, we don't know what exactly it's doing. Probably sending data back to Google for, you know. Most likely that's what is happening. But yeah, side tangent there.
Well, you can switch to Edge. It doesn't have Keystone. So Keystone is specifically for Google. Yep. But update experience in Edge is not smooth as well. A couple of times I actually lost all my tabs from upgrading Edge. So yeah, it's not perfect.
It is on the Edge.
Nice.
Oh wait, we forgot to start the 2020 with a pun, right? It's like, oh, I should have said that. Let's look back at 2020 with a clear vision.
Oh no, you are doing the puns now. I guess, yeah.
I mean, we have to live up to a certain standard. But yeah, what else? I think, okay, so as part of that, which is something we mentioned before as well, with the whole coronavirus thing, a lot of companies started to do remote onboarding and remote hiring. I don't see any negative feedback about like hiring remotely and that sort of thing, at least not from companies that switch. Okay, not any noticeable negative feedback, or at least no drama in Twitter about this.
Nothing I could notice as well, specific about hiring. I think most are about like catching up with colleagues, like what we talked about last episode as well. But I think like there's also a, I don't know, this sentence has become so prevalent in 2020 is like, can you hear me every time? You have to say that like every single time you have a meeting.
I mean, look at how long we had to prepare for this recording.
Yeah, technical issues and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the listeners just get all the creamy goodness, right? But they don't know how long we had to set up this this call. But yeah.
Can you hear me? Is a new hello now. Like, after this, when all this is over, I'm just going to greet people with, can you hear me?
You're walking in a meeting room and like, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
You open the door, can you hear me?
Yeah. Reminiscing the bad old days.
And you're wearing shorts.
Yes. Yeah.
Imagine if you're not paying attention in your meeting and then people are like, oh, you look frozen to me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's provided that we have an office to go back to, right? Like with this, a lot of companies just stop renting spaces. And I think the negative effect on the economy, on the whole coronavirus situation as well, we definitely see it impact several tech companies, right? For example, like Mozilla had to lay off a sizable chunk of their workforce. I kind of sad because like of all the teams, they had to lay off the servo team, which was the team that's working on the Rust engine for Firefox. Like, because Firefox Quantum was using stuff from the servo engine already, and then they have to cut development. Look, I'm going to use Firefox, so performance improvements is very important to me. But yeah, I think that's one of the more noticeable layoffs. Maybe there are companies that have such a sizable layoff as well, but I can't on top of my head recall who else did it.
The most I heard was from those airlines, like not particularly from software, yes.
Yeah. I think some software companies probably benefit from this, like we mentioned Zoom. So yeah, layoffs is one of the effects of COVID.
Although I didn't really hear like, because long you mentioned like aviation industry, right? I don't really hear like travel industry getting impacted, at least from the software's part of view. Like booking.com and other travel sites doesn't seem to be impacted.
I'm not talking about travel sites, I'm not talking about like actual airlines, like, you know, AirAsia.
Like aviation, yeah. So yeah, I'm saying, I don't think AirAsia did a round of layoffs. I mean, on the development team, right?
Oh, no, know that. Not on the software team, I guess.
I think they pivoted a lot. So that's what these companies do. I know one travel company, they're using a lot of their internal tech tools is how they engage customers, how they capture sales and stuff like that. So they are using some kind of internal tool. So they are kind of like a travel company that's very tech heavy internally. So when COVID hits, right, they actually bring out their internal tools as a business. So that's how they pivot. So which is very interesting. So they actually kind of did this. So people who are using WhatsApp for business, they can actually capture sales. It's kind of a Salesforce inside WhatsApp, but a smaller version. So yeah, those are actually their internal tools when they were capturing leads and sales from travel agencies, but they actually brought it out. At least that's what I heard. Maybe that's not accurate, but that's actually what I heard about. So it's a very interesting pivot, like from a travel company to a WhatsApp business platform company. I think AirAsia is also doing some pivots. I think they are testing kind of like different kinds of apps, I think.
They are trying to focus on super apps, you know, Grabs and whatnot. And they already have like a BigPay and stuff. So probably they will expand on that as well.
I think they have some kind of like a competitor for Foodpanda or something like that. I can't remember what was it. I think I've heard of it. I might be wrong though. But yeah, it's definitely interesting to see all these pivots because of the affected industries, right? Even like from my own circle of friends as well, I do know some software engineers were laid off actually because of COVID. And it's because the industry that the company was in was affected. So for example, like one friend that I know worked in a company where they actually cater food for office, right? And then because people don't go to office anymore, so their business is slowing down and they had to lay off some people. Yeah, which is quite sad.
I think it also forced some of the more traditional industry to adopt technology more. I know that a friend was doing this kind of event organizing companies. They're transitioning into all these online 3D views, VR sort of event experience as well. Because, you know, they can't help large scale events anymore. Yeah. And I think a lot of like new properties site also like start to offer their 3D showroom as well. Quite interesting, like something we see in 2020.
Yeah, definitely want to touch upon some like community related things. But before that, I kind of want to talk about the other spectrum as well, right? Like we've been talking about the negative effect. And somehow there are companies like experiencing very positive growth, right? We talked about Zoom earlier. I think one of the surprising things we talked about since we talked about travel was Airbnb actually is proceeding with their IPO. Like a travel-based company. It's like proceeding. Okay.
I don't know about the whole climate of whole worldwide, but at least from where I stay, the Airbnb business seems good. A lot of people like choose to do staycations, right? So what they do, they just rent Airbnb in somewhere in another state inside the country. Seems like I stay constant Airbnb users around, even though during this when pandemics like start to loosen out the SOP and stuff.
Yeah, I know in the like early days of the quarantine, especially for us in Malaysia, it started in March. Around that time, a lot of countries started around there. So I know like California, I think, started the stay-at-home order in around March as well. So during that period, at least a lot of people were impacted. At least a lot of Airbnb renters were impacted by this. I think now that we reach a stage, it's not like our cases are reducing, but there are relaxed measures like allowing people to do this staycation. Let's see, what are the companies? Slack? I think Slack went IPO this year as well. But I guess it does make sense given potential growth from the whole work from home thing and Slack being a direct messaging company. Oh, actually, no. They got bought over by Salesforce. Actually, that was the thing we wanted to talk about, not going IPO. I think IPO was last year. But yes, they got eaten up by Salesforce. I mean, what does a sales company want to do with a messaging app?
I don't know. What struck me most is, what does a B2B company want to do with a B2C company?
But I think Slack is actually used more by B2B.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, okay, not corrections. It's more end-user facing instead of like, I don't know. People would know what Slack is even if you don't use it at work. You may use it in some community or, you know, between your families and friends even. But it's very different from things like Salesforce, like, I don't think most people know what Salesforce is. So it's a very weird acquisition for me. It's like people will first heard about Salesforce because of Slack. Could be. That's the thing. Only thing I find weird.
Salesforce does own a number of companies. And Salesforce incidentally does own Heroku as well. So they have a very, very huge portfolio of companies under them. I guess more of the curiosity for me is like, what are they going to do with it? Where does this fit in the whole like Salesforce ecosystem, and or is it even a Salesforce play? Maybe it's like some other play. Snowflake did their IPO this year as well. So if I'm not mistaken, they are kind of like a data warehouse company. I think I've sort of heard of them before in a place I work in where they were building a data warehouse and they were speccing on this, but that was like, I only heard from the other team that they were exploring this. And the next time I heard of them was, yeah, they're going IPO. I guess it's more of like, hey, the tech companies, the tech industry seems to be moving forward, but then you have companies that are not profitable, still going through IPO or are in the stock market. So I'm not a trader. I don't have an idea.
Yeah, I mean,
I have no idea how the US stock market works.
I'm not very familiar with Snowflake. Yeah, I should probably look it up.
Yeah, and some money for it. Yeah, I think I kind of listed it down because there are these companies that are doing all these things this year. So they're kind of like, for me, it's more like contrasting the both the positive and negative effect of COVID.
So are these acquisitions, do you like, do you think it's positive or what?
To me, I see it as a positive, right? Because money is being exchanged. There are transactions happening. Right? You're buying a company, so you need to like pay X amount to acquire the company. So, you know, money is being exchanged. I guess it is beneficial somewhat for the economy that money is being exchanged. But again, all these like American-based companies, right? And I don't quite know like how the American system works, like how much tax does the government get and all that kind of thing. But I will see it as some sort of a metric of a health of the industry. Because it could be like, oh, this is not a one-day thing, right? A lot of these IPOs take time, they need to discuss and all that kind of thing. So for them to kind of proceed with this in this year, to me, does signal some sort of healthy thing going on. Or it could be totally wrong because I have zero understanding on how the American stock market works. Okay, we did have one more other topic we had on things that happened in 2020. I don't think this is a sensitive topic. Like, this is a very prominent thing that happened in the industry. Not just the industry, right? Like, just the whole world. Was the Black Lives Matters
movement.
Event? Hashtag?
It's a movement. Yeah, movement. It's a movement.
Movement is the correct word.
Oh my god, hashtags. Yeah, I don't think it's like sensitive per se. I think it's like either controversial or at least polarizing topics.
Yeah. I think it's polarizing because people on both sides are passionate about it. So.
And like, it's more obvious in the tech world where the tools and sites they use day to day, suddenly see all these banners and showing their support and what's not. Or the other way around, like of support, showing their lack of support. Is that a thing?
It's definitely a source of Twitter dramas.
Everything can be a Twitter drama.
That's true.
Like every company, every like project or company that like put out the banner, I think people were just like, "Why you put out the banner?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On the other side of the spectrum, there's companies that's like, "Well, why do you not have a say about this?"
That's true. Like if you don't put it, you will be perceived as being on the other side, and if you put it, you also perceive that it depends on who actually comes and see the banner. I think one of the example is probably the Vue.js doc site. I think people on both sides are really passionate about it to the point that some people are complaining about that, and I think even you has to even create an GitHub issue explaining all these kind of things. Just triggers a lot more responses.
I remember seeing the issue. Even you was basically saying, if you don't like it, you don't have to.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's not really affecting how Vue.js works. I don't know if there's any way to kind of avoid this because people have opinions, right? I think it also triggers a drama when GitHub wanted to change the master branch to main, like. Right, I think that also triggered some responses.
And I think, have they started it? Because they were saying at a certain point that from a certain date, every new repo would have the main branch naming. I'm not sure if they have done it. I don't know the exact date, but...
Yeah, I mean, personally, it doesn't affect my use of GitHub or Git. And in some ways, it's easier to think about. You are on a master branch or you are on a main branch. It's kind of the same. So you'll get used to it, I think. So I don't know why it's triggering such a response anyway.
if you look back at about the things we talk about, like naming things is hard.
Right.
You know, people are just weird.
It is. It's not just things.
Right. So I guess some people would experience a lot of grief. No, I want that name. I can't let it go. But,
yeah.
I mean, you can always rename it, right? Like GitHub is not locking down the name. It's just like, you know, just providing a more acceptable, neutral name.
And that's just like Git specific to GitHub, right? Not like not Git. So in your Git repo, it's still master branch. You will still stay in master branch.
Right. Yeah. I think my team probably have 10 repos. I think only one of them has changed to main. We haven't even taken up the effort to actually change anything else. And I don't know if we even will take the time to actually do it. It's just like...
if someone is really passionate about this, they will do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. And we have a lot of things to... Maybe once we have more slack, then we'll do it. But yeah.
More slack, huh?
Yeah. More slack. More Salesforce, I guess.
More sales create more slack.
Salesforce Slack, if you're listening, you know, we don't mind sponsors, so...
Yeah. Please sponsor us. We want to hire editors. Those are not just the Twitter dramas this year, right? There's a lot more Twitter dramas. I think every couple of months there should be one drama on Twitter, I think.
Feels like every month.
Every day. I think I saw this year, I think. I saw this tweet that was saying like every day there is a main character on the internet and your goal is to not be the main character. Because like in Malaysia, we had one such incident, right, where some poor bloke had to pay 400 ringgit, around $100 for a burger.
Oh, right.
And that was like really viral. Yeah. I guess some context is like, I think a guy went out and did a split bill thing and then he ordered a burger, but he had to split the bill for everybody else. So he had to pay other people's food, which ended up being his burger costing up to like 400 ringgit, more than that, around $100 So yeah, that was actually I think it was a very common meme, right, at the point of time.
I think, yeah, for a few days, I guess.
For a few days, yeah. Like that just shows the effect of like being a main character on the internet, right? Because it started from, I think he's...
Yeah, it went viral and then the next day there's a new main character, so...
Yeah, yeah, kind of like, don't be the main character of the internet of the day. For me, that was like, I don't know, scary and amazed at the same time. This does happen before, right? But not at the pace where everybody is talking about it at almost the same time. And when someone makes an offhand reference to it, people will get it immediately.
I guess it thanks to like pandemic lockdown, people are more active on social media instead of going travels. Yeah, they can't go anywhere. Just lock to the computer screens, phone screens.
Which also breeds conspiracy theories. I think there was one report saying that after the lockdown, actually like conspiracy theory groups gained a lot more traction, like exponential growth because of this. I think the famous one in the US is QAnon. I think QAnon is also a 2020 event that we can... It's not really 2020 event because it has been there since 2017, I think. But it gained traction when people everywhere just went into lockdown and just browse Facebook more. Yeah, I think that also is one issues from 2020, yes. A side effect from lockdowns.
But talking about that, yeah, I think this quite recently as well, right? Like Facebook got handed a few antitrust charges. Was it Facebook? I'm pretty sure it was.
I think it was Facebook.
Facebook. Right, about like because they have Instagram and what's the other company they own? WhatsApp.
They own a lot.
They own a lot of companies.
Right, and it's like, yeah, they're controlling all this information flow, controlling conspiracy theory. Yeah, and like even this year, the US election, I'm going to only touch on the Facebook ad about the US election. Okay, we're not going to talk about anything else.
Okay.
But yeah, like because of the US election, there's a lot more increased activity in Facebook and all, right? So I think now they are looking into like the whole Facebook with the antitrust case. They're looking into Facebook as a huge company with all this access to information and influence as well, right? Like in Instagram and in Facebook, the recommended feeds do come from the algorithm studying your behavior as a user.
Like even the conspiracy theory groups also, the reason why it gained traction is also because Facebook algorithm knows how to associate these kind of people and these kind of people, and like, oh, they can determine that these people could be more into, yeah, share the same interests. So yeah, I think it's not just on Facebook. I think YouTube as well has had a problem with that, but I think the face of this issue is Facebook, you know. They're the face of this issue.
I mean, if there's a close second, there will be like Twitter start rolling out this fact check tweets. They will label certain tweets with fact check as well. I think this is also a very 2020 thing.
So previously, they never did that before.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
It got so polarized because of the US election as well, which this is also the only thing I want to touch on. Okay. just the labels. Yeah.
It was very obvious because of COVID. I think one thing, because they had to like start verifying whether a tweet was related to COVID and whether it was a genuine fact about COVID, right? Because when COVID started, people were, as usual, spreading misinformation and that sort of thing. Like even YouTube is doing like, oh, this video is talking about COVID, check with WHO or check with your local health authorities on like most up-to-date information, stuff like that. Like they do have that banner as well on COVID-related videos. So yeah, just to prevent misinformation. Because I know in the early days when COVID just started, there were a lot of hate crimes actually targeted towards like Asians.
Right.
There were incidents that did make to the news because the hate crime was so severe that got severely injured.
Combining these two things, conspiracy and COVID news, there's like also 5G causing COVID.
No, don't.
Oh my god.
Don't turn this into a conspiracy theory podcast, please. Please.
Okay. I feel like that's also where very 2020 things like.
Yeah. The 5G causing.
Yeah. Spreading virus through what 5G.
They even have like map and visualizations, you know. I think I saw that. They actually associate that because the map is the same. Like the 5G towers and the map of COVID is actually the same. They even have visualizations, so that's why it makes the theory more compelling and people start go and destroy 5G towers. But it just makes sense that 5G towers are actually in populous areas. So, and COVID is also spreading in populous areas. So the correlation doesn't mean causation. So,
and I also saw this on Twitter, someone sharing like, people are selling Faraday cage. People are buying them. Put them on their routers to prevent the 5G spreading virus to their router. Like, I saw that, I was like, oh my god, I can't even.
We can do with less such people in the internet. Sure, block your internet access. It's fine.
I mean, 2020, right? This is when they will shine.
But yeah, talking about like internet access and 5G towers, like there was a time where people couldn't use their household appliance because AWS. One AWS region went down, I think. I think I saw people tweeting like, oh, I can't use my vacuum cleaner or my doorbell or my security camera because I think it's US East 1, I think. I think it's US East 1, I could be wrong. Yeah, I went down for a bit.
And your doorbell is down.
So AWS is down, so they cannot use their doorbell because of IoT.
Yes, because of IoT.
Okay, that's...
Because a lot of people use the Nest, like in western side of the world, a lot of them use the Nest, like thermostat and Nest camera. And I know like some dealing, any IP camera now, you kind of, they don't allow direct access. You need internet access, even though it's like, for example, in your local network.
Right. So if you're using like a IoT smart lock, so are you going to be locked out of your house if the service is
down?
Well,
if they use AWS in that region...
I think for things like locks, I always have failsafe. Like even all those smart locks, just fingerprints, you always have a failsafe.
Right.
You can always have a key.
Yeah.
And I don't think AWS ever mentioned they're going to be 100% uptime, right? They do state their expected uptime, which is like, depending on different service, they have different SLOs for their uptime. So, but it was funny seeing all these antidotes online.
Yeah, I think Google was also down this month, I think. Or
quite recent, right? I started November or December. Yeah, I was reading the post-mortem report, actually. It's because I think it was a misconfigured IAM setting that caused the limit to be lower. And then it just... Because IAM is tied to everything, right? So I think a lot of people noticed it because YouTube was down. And it was because the IAM limit was lower. So if people hit the IAM limit of the service, then you can't basically log in. Yeah, that was interesting. But again, Google never mentioned like we're going to be 100% uptime. So
I think Gmail was down as well, right?
Yes, though, because everything ties back to their IAM, their access management.
I think I saw this one very funny article. So it just says that we tried to reach Google for comment, but their spokesperson cannot access their email because like Gmail is down. So Google is down, right? They're using Gmail, so they cannot access their email. So that's very funny.
But that kind of goes to say, like, for example, if you're a tech company or even if you're a non-tech company but you're looking for a service, actually not really relevant if you're a non-tech company. But if you're a tech company, you might want to think about all these things. Take into account their SLOs and provide a alternate, some other alternate way that provides access to your user. It's hard. I know multi-cloud is like a totally touchy thing to talk about. But
it's not just the multi-cloud thing, right? Like if you're using SSO and Gmail is down, so it's also going to affect.
Yeah, if you're using like Google's SSO and it's down, then you cannot access all your service. It's like, that's kind of the truth of it. If you use a service, you kind of have to be reliant on them. But one thing we could also touch upon is the community as well. When I mentioned community as in like meetups and conferences, I actually like watch a lot more conference talk this year just because everyone is streaming it on YouTube, which was very in some ways fun because I was planning like beginning of the year to fly to like attend some conferences, and then it's like, oh, all these conferences and a lot more are available online. I was like, okay, I'll just watch them. Like I watched talks from like China and Japan and some European countries and that was like I wouldn't be able to fly to so many countries if it was in a normal year. So that was one thing.
In the old normal, you mean?
Old normal.
We're in the new normal, so anything before this is the old normal?
Old normal. That's one thing I appreciate out of this year. Like really, I really watch a lot of talks and from different countries and gain really a lot of different perspectives.
But I think like one of the things I noticed also, depends on the organizer. Some talk becomes very, because it's online, if they didn't prepare for the interaction session properly can be quite chaotic. Things like some of the online conference I went to, we just have like some Slack channels. Everyone just throw their question there, then you get like, I don't know, hundreds of questions at the end of the one talk. Then there's no chance your question get answered. And usually you don't get that amount of question to ask in a real life face-to-face conference. So like, oh my god, that's like the most question I ever seen post talk in any conference. no chance my question get picked. Yeah, none of my question get picked.
Okay, but yeah, like actually talking about like the flip side of being like a speaker, right? It's very challenging to do presentation or remote speaking. Like you practically today to be a good remote speaker, you need to be like a streamer already. You need to have a good mic. You need to have multiple monitors. You need to learn how to like switch scenes and that sort of thing. Like it's tough. Previously, it's easier when you do a face-to-face talk because you just look at the slides and you can look at the audience. And now your audience is like text because it's all chat. And you also need a good moderator as well. Like for example, you mentioned like Slack channel because the speaker can't be handling so many things, right? They need a moderator to help them like go through chat and pick up questions for them. So that is one challenge of it. But yeah, everybody is now becoming a streamer already. Like we all got mics because of this.
Yeah.
Headphones, mic, webcams must be selling very well.
Yeah. And furnitures too.
Oh, desk. Setting up home office.
In 2020, this is a bit of a tangent, right? So if you are into stock trading, for example, so a lot of the industries are down. Like for example, properties, like we mentioned just now, rentals are out, right? So office rentals are out. house rentals also are cancelled. It, like new rentals, as in, if you look at furniture companies, they actually went up, like electronic companies, then vaccine companies, of course, like glove companies, yeah. But furniture companies is probably the one related to us as well, like because we are part of the people who actually bought new furnitures to work from home. And yeah, I mean, I guess good for them.
But talking about that, like, I think IKEA is stopping their catalog printing. Like, they're no longer doing physical catalogs anymore from next year onwards or something like that. Like, after 75 years, I think was the number, they're going to stop printing their catalogs.
I didn't know they have physical catalogs.
Yeah. I didn't know.
But don't you go to IKEA and get a copy of their catalog?
No, I just browse their website on my phone and look for the things.
Okay, it's just me being a zoomer. I want everything physical. Okay.
If I go to IKEA, I just walk and look at all the stuff, and I don't probably look at the catalogs.
Well, 2020 has been a year.
It's a thing.
Frankly speaking, I don't feel like 2021 will change a lot, just because the clock move faster. As in, the clock moves into 2021. We are slowly getting used to it, and there is like hope on the horizon now, right? A lot of the vaccines are in like phase 3 testing, so we'll see how like the trial goes. I hope everyone, I mean all of us, right, including our listeners, like 2020 was a very turbulent year, and I think it's still going to be turbulent, right, with the amount of cases and with all the measures, right? So I generally hope like 2021 will be better. But even though I just said like it won't be a lot of changes, but I think it's nice to hope for things.
Yeah, like. But definitely there's going to be the horizon. We can see the horizon now. I mean, some countries are already giving vaccines to their residents, right? So I think Malaysia is going to get it in February or March, I think. So, yeah, but we don't know how many vaccines will be there and how who's going to get it first. And it's going to be very awkward to go back to the old normal, I think.
Yeah, actually, one thing I do worry is like, oh, suddenly, let's say like, you know, 90% or 80% of the population is vaccinated already. Are they going to like, oh, you all are okay, come back to office.
Yeah. That's what I'm wondering as well.
At least for our tech industry, I think this is like a thing that's already been outed forever. Like, that's most of the company would already have to force to adopt to remote, at least for tech company wise. But I don't know, like other industry, I guess.
Yeah, but it's gonna be weird to transition back. I don't know if you guys feel it. I mean, this is going a bit tangent again, but I don't know if you guys feel it. Like, sometimes I watch Netflix and I watch movies like pre-COVID that doesn't have social distancing, and I felt it in myself, like, why are you not social distancing?
I get you when I watch scenes like, why are you not wearing masks?
I was just telling my wife the other day, I was like, I watched a movie from 2018 and I was like, why are these people not socially distancing?
Or is the other feeling where, oh, it's so nice to like, you know, just be carefree and go out and talk to people, you don't have to wear masks and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think yesterday I watched this YouTube videos of people in the mall some years ago. They just walk in the mall and then people playing piano, and then like two strangers joining the piano players to play the piano together. It's like, oh my god, that's not gonna happen again. Like three people playing piano together, strangers in the mall, people walking around.
We'll get there. It's just a matter of when. We'll get there. Okay, so this has been our wrap-up for 2020. You'll probably be listening this in 2021 because of when we record this. I hope everyone do well in 2021 and stay safe with COVID still going around. Long, what's the ending words again?
Don't let your copy overflow.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
All right.
Thanks, everyone.